This is All Things Therapy, where we are changing consciousness one conversation at a time. And I'm Lisa Tahir, your host. Hello there. Welcome to All Things Therapy. I really appreciate you joining wherever you are listening or viewing from. I want to wish you a happy Thursday. Today is episode 299, and I have a wonderful guest joining us. I really want to capture your attention and ask you to tune in. And as you hear her and I converse with each other, I invite you to have this conversation with yourself surrounding issues of love, of inner peace, of really listening to your intuition. It's an inner guidance system that is always present with you. Sometimes we just kind of disconnect from that part of ourselves because the environment might be speaking louder than our own inner truth. And my guest today is Shannon Kaiser. She's a beautiful person, is reaching, you know, almost 3 million people, if not more, around the world with what she has learned by doing her own work around topics of inner peace, personal transformation. This is Shannon's second time on All Things Therapy, and she is a five-time best-selling author. I'm going to bring her on as I'm talking about you, Shannon. Hello.
Hi.
You're a five-time best-selling author. You teach and touch millions of people through your work on empowerment, inner peace, joy, and love. You are named among the top 100 women to watch in wellness by MindBodyGreen. And today we are discussing your sixth book. And I'm going to hold it up for those of you that are on video. Let's see which way to turn it. It's called A Return to You, 11 Spiritual Lessons for Unshakable Inner Peace. And I had you on my show talking about your book, Joy Seeker, and I just really welcome you back.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. And I feel this topic, inner peace, is really important.
It's really important, Shannon, like you're saying. And when I was reflecting upon your book, I thought of the theme of, you know, you really write about heart and mind alignment in conjunction with universal energy, with source energy, and that's how we are truly living. We hear a lot about living in alignment. And what that means is truly this, you know, spirit, heart, soul connection. Where do you want to start with us today?
Yeah, that's so important to look at. You know, I'm a big, big supporter of mental health and spirituality and personal health, and we can't really separate them. They all go together. And I've had a lot of personal experiences that have led me to this work, but this work truly is about tapping into a deeper sense of self. So with everything that I do, whether it's the books or the coaching, it comes back to alignment to our true self. And we can't have that alignment if we don't really know who we are, if we're not practicing self-love, and if we're not connected to our higher self or source or some, you know, just a power of faith. I like to say, you know, we're living in a time where there's so much fear, but when we have faith, we are really free from fear. And it's not just a faith in a religious sense. It's faith just means you have a belief in unshakable power and something bigger than yourself.
Shannon, when I was reading your book, and this is kind of, it's like in lights above my head, in my mind, I took all these notes, but the one thing that's been standing out, like illuminating, it was like a wow moment where you write about judge nothing that occurs. And that's been coming up within me in the last few days. If a topic or a situation comes up about someone else, and it's just like, Lisa, judge nothing. And it's almost like it helps me to stop my mind. Can you share some of that, how that came to you and what it means?
Absolutely. You know, when I actually was suffering from, I was diagnosed with clinical depression in 2009. And part of that depression was because I was an empath. I didn't know that. And I was picking up energy from others. But more importantly, I was actually so out of integrity with self. And what I had learned is to really get back into alignment with self, it's really about honoring who you are. And so as I started to go through and do this work, I realized how much a lot of the times we put our, whether it's a diagnosis, illness or a situation or something a family member told to us, we put our beliefs on like they are real. Like, I'm not worthy. I'm not a good person. I am a depressed person. And we take these to mean our identity. And I find, and I've learned in my work, and I work with patients and clients in the sense of what it really is about, the judger in our head is more detrimental than the aspect itself. And so I also suffered from eating disorders and the judgment and shame that came with that. When I stopped judging myself and realized maybe this is here for a deeper reason, maybe this is something I need to learn and heal, then I could finally get to a solution. So judge nothing that occurs is a profound, whether you're diagnosed with something or whether you're just having an off day or looking out and seeing the news cycle. When we put judgment on it, it pulls us into a state of frustration, depression. And so in A Course in Miracles, they have a mantra that says, judge nothing that occurs. And from this place, you can use it as a mantra. It pulls you back into your center, which is the real truth, because judgment is a form of fear.
It is. And your book is a journey from fear-based thinking, as A Course in Miracles is, into love. And I have A Course in Miracles next
to me. Yes, that big blue book.
Yes, I'm a student of the course. And it's been so helpful, again, in practical real-life situations when something arises and to, you know, a phrase from the course, a lesson will pop up in my mind. And I notice that, you know, that same energy, that same like loving encouragement as a coach in your book return to you, like it's that same tone. And so I appreciate that you're really open about your journey that you wrote about, and you were on your national book tour for Joy Seeker in 2019, and you were having panic attacks.
Yes. In fact,
people, because I feel like, I mean, I was having a panic attacks when my kitty cat passed away. So I know it's terrifying.
It happens.
You can't breathe. And what you learned, that was awakening you too.
Yeah. It's funny because I was diagnosed with clinical depression back in 2009, and I started to heal myself. And so for 8 years, I really was free of depression. I was free of anxiety, and I was living what felt like my authentic mission. I was writing books, and I was on book tour for my last book, Joy Seeker, which I was on your show, which was wonderful. And so shortly after, it was such a heavy tour, shortly after when I was traveling all around, this was back in 2019, I would come back to the hotel room, and the events were wonderful. I really was practicing the tools. I felt joy, but I would have these overwhelming moments of fear and panic. And I started breaking out in cold sweats. I had a hard time breathing. And it was all coming from my mind. It was inside of me, but my ego, my fear was saying, who do you think you are to be in so much joy, to teach about joy when the world's falling apart? Who do you think you are? This is all going to go away. Mm-hmm. And it was so detrimental that it was interrupting my workouts. It was carried on for several weeks until I really went into it. And I like to really recognize that a lot of the times our emotions are really important to feel. And I recognized, okay, what was different? I think a lot of times we probably see in this space that we're in, we sometimes, again, that judger would come in and say, well, I should have this figured out. And you know, I'm a spiritual teacher. This doesn't make sense. But I didn't have that. My judger was free at that moment. And instead, I went to curiosity. I went to wonder, if you will. And I had the question, not from a place of something's wrong with me, but at a place of inquiry, which is, why anxiety? Why now? Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized I'm being asked to go even deeper. And I had yet what is considered a spiritual awakening. And my inner voice said, Shannon, you can't fix a inside spiritual situation with an outside physical solution. So the path I was on was about really getting in tune with my inner world, because we can never find peace looking out in the world. And that's what we've been trying to do. I'll do this over here. I'll do this. And it's great to meditate. It's great to hire the coaches and listen to things like this. But our inner world, it starts there. Just like A Course in Miracles says, your inside world is a reflection of your outer state.
It absolutely is. And it's so powerful to start to step into and experience the power of how everything is generated from our inner world, our thoughts, especially, which I love reading a book called The Master Key System by Charles Hanel. He mentored like Ernest Holmes and the New Thought leaders in the 20s. And he talks about, you know, mind, like really being able to construct the reality that we live in. And you speak about that as well in your book.
Yeah, it's very true. Our thoughts will often create our results, if you will, right? And it's, I started to see this in my own journey. Now, I was diagnosed with depression. I understand that sometimes it's a chemical imbalance. Sometimes you do need physical world situations. Mm-hmm. But for many of us, there's an imbalance because we live in a world that is throwing so much at us as far as look at me, believe me, do what I say. And it's just pulling at us. It's like we are just diminishing our true self. And so this book, I had to write this book. So I sat down and wrote this book and started to practice the principles. And one of the very first principles is we live in a school called Planet Earth.
Yes.
And I started to recognize, okay, well, if Earth is a giant classroom and we all come here to experience different lessons, the contrast, you know, in your study too, the Eastern philosophies and the Tao tradition talks about to know something, you must truly know the opposite. Mm. And so while I was in my anxiety and depression, again, that came back in a different way this time, I asked, okay, well, what is the opposite of this? Oh, it's peace. And I realized I was in a master school of peace. And then I can truly say I am on tour right now. And I have so much peace and I've been able to live these principles because flash forward to 2020 March, when the world really did fall into the most chaotic time and everyone around me started to fall into fear, neighbors, family, clients. Yeah. And for 2 years really straight, I worked on maintaining peace and focusing on staying grounded no matter what was happening outside of us.
Absolutely. And for our listeners and viewers to know, Shannon, that you lay out Return to You in the form of these life truths. You teach spiritual lessons you call life truths. And you start off just like you said, that we are on this planet Earth, which is a school. Everything is our teacher, you talk about. And we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And I think from that perspective, we're able to make some more meaning of our lives.
Yes, it's exactly true. And I think sometimes we try really hard to make things happen and we're pushing and we're resisting and we're like, ah, and it's not happening. And I think when we surrender and relax into our spiritual self is safe. Our spiritual self is exploring and having an adventure, like playing with the world, if you will.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the times it's really about balancing our ego human self with that spiritual soul self. And that's what this book is really sets out to do is the principle to help you kind of tie back in. One being, you know, our seasons have souls. And this is another lesson in the book that's really one of my favorites because I think sometimes, especially, you know, in business, we try to make something happen. There was a period where I was trying to launch things and courses and it wasn't working. I was trying to pitch a next book and it was just so, it felt like an uphill battle. And yeah. We're seeing this too out in the world. Sometimes you try to make things happen and things just fall through like quicksand. It's because your season, your soul is actually in something that might be considered a rest reason. Season like fall or winter, yeah. And to honor where you're at. So surrender to not pushing, just being. And then soon enough, you'll enter into what is spring or summer, which is that actualization.
Yes. Shannon, I'm wondering as you're talking, how do you introduce these spiritual principles, even us being, a spirit and having a human experience to people that might not be familiar with that or might believe differently. And in my work with clients, I've started to ask them, you know, what are your spiritual beliefs? And a lot of them are like, oh my gosh, a therapist has never even asked me that. Mm-hmm. And because I think we've kept it so separate in ways from psychology. But for me, it's been really helpful and amazing to get what people really believe when someone dies, when things really change, and how do you connect and reach people with that and help them kind of adopt this if they're not already?
I think the important thing is to share what we know to be true for us. And this is very true for me from my own personal experience with loved ones passing on and having a connection with them. And then also just in my own personal growth, I really feel that spirituality is like a masterclass. So it's one of those things where it's not for everyone because it is so kind of heady and woo-woo at times, but I'm not a woo-woo person. Like I'm not out in the clouds. I'm actually very grounded and I'm very practical with it because to me, that's the only way it makes sense. So for me, it really is about, and in my coaching practice too, I always ask, are you spiritual or what are your beliefs? Because I want to meet people where they're at.
Yeah.
And so I put this book out there because it's called Return to You. And I needed to return to me. Part of my anxiety was also I was holding back pieces of myself, such as that I believe in angels, I like crystals, and I believe in spirituality. So I decided this book, I made a promise to myself and the universe and my readers that I have to just share what I know is true and has helped me so tremendously in my life.
Absolutely. And I really resonate with what you're saying by authentically sharing what you believe. It, you know, gives people permission to dig deeper into themselves. And that's what I think a return to you is about. I see us, Shannon, like returning to ourselves every day. I think we need daily.
Yes.
To tap in. How do you do that? Return to yourself each day.
Oh, it's so, I like to call it the Me Matters list in my book, The Self-Love Experiment. I talk about how important self-love
is. I'm familiar with that. Yes.
So important. And, you know, in this book, I talk about the things that pull us away from peace. And one of that is expectations of others, even needing to fit in, also the kind of the way the world is. And so this book really trains us and step-by-step helps us and guides us to disconnect from all that because it's pulling at us and keeping us out of our lives. Alignment. And so there are lots of tools within the book, such as I share, you know, the real practical tools like journaling and meditating. For me personally, a non-negotiable is to get outside in nature. I love, love nature, and I love writing. So every day I will do at least those two things. And writing could just be in a journal, or it could be if I'm working on a book, but I also love to help people. And so one of my favorite tools from the book is turn your resistance into assistance. And I find, especially through what we've just all lived through the last couple of years and what we're going through, there's a lot of resistance. Like, and what I mean by that is it doesn't feel like resistance, but it's like, I wish the world was different. I can't believe what's happening, whether it's in your personal life or out in the world. We're like, oh, when are we going to get through this? And I can't believe this. And it's all out there. And so that resistance really pulls us back. But instead, go into it and say, well, how can I help? If I'm angry about what I'm being seen, shown on the news, or if I'm angry about what happened, or if I'm frustrated, sad, or overwhelmed by the state of the world, then maybe it's time to roll up my sleeves and see how I can participate to help make a better world. And that was radically a real big shift for me in my process because I became an activist in love, if you will.
Yeah. And you stepped into your empowerment, and that shift depression and anxiety, when we feel like we're able to do something, to be something, it definitely changes your emotions.
It does. It really does. And I think at the end of the day, we all want to be connected, seen, validated, loved, and just respected. And so when we step into this place, we give that acknowledgement. In the book, Return to You, I talk about acknowledgement is love. When you acknowledge another, even if they have a belief that's different than yours, just acknowledge and say, okay, well, that shows me more about who they are. I don't have to get an emotional charge to what they're saying. It's how they see the world. I can continue on with my beliefs. And then this is going to help us all feel better and more connected.
I think that's what real freedom is, Shannon, what you just described, that someone else can have a belief completely different than yours, and that can be absolutely okay.
Absolutely. And it seems that we have been living in a time where that's not okay. And we've been conditioned, and there was just so much animosity with the political and the environmental and the just the state of the world. But I really feel that we're moving through it. And so to your point, if we all just practice a little bit more radical compassion, I think that's going to help us as well. And that's part of the inner peace process.
It is. Shannon, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'd really love to have you talk to us about intuition and intuition styles, because you really break them down clearly in Return to You. And I loved that part of your book.
Great.
Okay. So y'all, for those of you listening to All Things Therapy, I have an awesome new sponsor, and they deliver creativity right to your mailbox. Being creative in some fashion or form can really help you be happier. And that's why I'm really stoked that Annie's Kit Club is here on All Things Therapy Podcast, offering you 75% off one of their crafting kits. So it's a yearly subscription, and you can choose from things like beading kits, where you're making handmade jewelry, earrings, necklaces, bracelets. They ship you all the supplies and tools that you need. And throughout the course of a year, you make different projects through completion with all of the instructions. You can also knit socks. There's like super awesome colors that you can choose from and patterns. You can crochet an Afghan, and they have a cool Moroccan block tile of the month. So you make a block a month, and at the end of the year, you have a full Afghan. They're beautiful. There's a young woodworkers kit for your children to learn woodworking in a safe way. There's also a general kit where you can kind of get a little bit of everything. And it's such a generous 75% off your first month to try them out. As my listener, you simply go to Annie's with an S, kit clubs with an S.com, and use discount code therapy75. And it's Annie's kit, kitclubs.com, discount code therapy75, and try out, get your creativity on, and see how this works. Consistency is key. So with the yearly subscription, you're really going to dig deep into expressing your creativeness and find more joy. Welcome back, Shannon.
Hi. Hey. Great to be back.
It's so great to see you. This is, the time's going by way too fast. I'm like, right. Oh no.
So much to talk about.
I know. So will you talk to us about intuition and intuition styles and what caused you to put this in Return to You?
Yes. You know, I had to sit down and look at all the things that keep us from feeling inner peace. And one of the main things is not trusting or believing in ourselves, because we are just conditioned and there's no school for like intuition. A lot of times growing up, we are very intuitive people, but we're taught to not believe it. So in my actual, I lead retreats, and in one of my retreats, I often run people through this process that I've created for my own coaching clients. And I realized it absolutely has to be in this book, Return to You. So I also have a quiz on my website, playwiththeworld.com, that you can take, and it's how to discover your intuition style. And I think this is so important, and I'll give the listeners and watchers a sample question so you can kind of see how it is and apply. But I always like to ask, you know, I'll ask the question, but think about your intuition. You have a unique way that yours talks to you. Your significant other or your family or someone, client, might not have the same. So learning your style is the key to believing and trusting in yourself. So one of the questions you can ask, you know, that's a quiz with five questions, but one of my favorites I like to ask is, when you watch a great movie, what do you remember most after the movie? You're going to go tell your friend, this was so good. A, the scenery, the cinematography, maybe the visual effects. You just pay attention to how beautiful the film was. B, the soundtrack. As the movie's going, when the music picks up, you're really into that scene. Or C, how it made you feel, the emotional ride you went on. Or D, the storyline, the actors, and the characters. So this is a signature kind of process. And if you said A, the scenery and cinematography, most often your intuition style. Now, of course, there's a full quiz to give you an accurate reading, but just from this question, we can usually lead into. I will say that sometimes you overlap. There's a dominant and there's another, but A is clairvoyant, which is clear seeing. You see your, when people talk to you, you create little images and that's how you interpret information. Your intuition will give you a flash of something. So this is really important to recognize if that's you. And then if you said B, you are the clear hearer, which is the clairaudient. And this is mine. This is why I'm often like, my inner voice said this, you know, I hear it. And this one is your intuitive messages will sound like voices in your head. No, you're not going crazy. It's your true self talking to you. And then C is clairsentient. This is the clear feeler. You actually feel empaths. This is very important too for many of us. Clairsentient is the ability to receive the messages through emotion, through feelings. That's how your intuition talks to you. It's so important. Like, don't go there and you feel a sense of danger, you know, that kind of thing. And then of course, there is also D. This is the one that is most often misunderstood or just looked over, because how can you ground it in anything? It's the claircognizant, which is clear knowing. You just have a knowing and you don't know how, but you know it. And so something without logic or facts, but it feels so right to you. And I will say you often have all of them, but in a dominant way. So maybe 80% one, 10% another, you know, it's a beautiful process. Once you learn what your intuition style is, you can work with it. You can build it up. And I have exercises in the book to help you build up your specific power.
And it's so important, Shannon, that we know, and that the sensations we have, be it the things we hear, or for me, it's definitely the claircognizance, like this clear knowing beyond anything that is seen or known. Like, I just know
yes,
what's going to be. Or if you're the one, clairaudient. I think it's so grounding and reaffirming to know that this is how we intuit and decipher the world that we're in. And it takes, as you talk about being alone with yourself, taking some time to cultivate the stillness to even hear from inside of yourself.
Yeah, it's a practice. And I think one of the questions I hear the most is, how do you believe and trust in yourself? Like, I really want to feel better. I want to make my dreams come true, you know, but it's this process and it all starts with going inward. And that's why one of the lessons is, if you don't go within, you go without. And this is a Michael Singer kind of aspect in philosophy, but the whole idea is our inner world is where our answers are. And so often they can then inform the right choice to make in the outside world.
Absolutely. You know, Shana, something I learned about you that was really cool is that you and I were both half Ironman triathlete sisters.
Yeah.
And I was, so you understand, high five. It was so intense for me. And, you know, I didn't realize through all my training and to get to race day that this was more, it was so much more than physical. I had every negative emotion come out. And I wanted to ask if you did, you know, just the hours on the bike and running and swimming, it's like every negative thought, I would be crying sometime. It was like a purging of what's really in you, because you're in such extreme kind of, I was curious about your experience and it brought up for you.
Love hearing about other experiences and triathlons. For me, when I did my triathlons, it was right after I was diagnosed with depression. Yeah. And so it was where I channeled all my energy into health and wellness, and it became my therapy. So I used to work all hours. I was in advertising. I'd stay till 2, sometimes spend the night under my desk, just the way the industry was. Mm-hmm. And so I carved out, hey, I'm training for a triathlon. I have to leave at 5 p.m. And of course, that doesn't go well in the industry, but it was me choosing me. And so I actually found it the most healing time, because not only, you know, it can be healthy for the body, but my mind was finally focused on something versus the negativity of the world and my depression. But I will say, when I raced, I did the a half Ironman in Hawaii, the conditions, it was so hot and it was like, oh my God, I wasn't prepared for this. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. And it's such a beautiful thing to set a goal though, and then to work towards it. But I gave myself permission going in to just do the best I could, no matter what. It wasn't about a PR, and I was okay if I didn't finish. I just knew I need to go, but I did, and I wanted to do more. And I was an endurance athlete for several years.
You know, I was as well, Shana, and I love that story about the inner journey of being an athlete. People tend to just think it's an outside physical thing, but it's so much deeper.
It is. In fact, I find a lot of people I work with in my own coaching practice who have had a lot of trauma or, you know, abuse as children, they're runners or they do these events because it's a healthy way for many of us to really focus on well-being, and it becomes meditative, but it's a beautiful thing because it's self-love in action.
It is. It's the why to put yourself through this commitment to yourself to show.
Yes.
For me, I used the half Ironman triathlons to recover from addiction specifically. And a book literally fell from a shelf from addict to Ironman at a time when I really needed it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, yes. And it was, you know, I thought it was just the physical journey, but it was the emotional, the spiritual journey to be able to stay with something that hurts. You know, it hurts to run, to bike 56 miles and run a half marathon, and swim a mile and a half and put it all together in a day. And the time it takes to train to even be able to do that. But I knew I was showing up for myself in a new and different way to be healthier and to be happier. And I hear for you, it was a showing up for yourself that was the deeper commitment.
It is. And I think what's really important too is to recognize that we have different phases of our life, because there was a phase where when I moved back to Oregon, my lifestyle had changed so much that I was still signing up for events, but I didn't have the time to train because I was starting my own business. And so again, not letting the guilt come in, because at first I was like, I want to be an athlete more, but I'm not. And so my point with this is, and I see this in my own with working with people, that there's different times in our life. And so you said it best, as long as you're showing up for yourself in new ways, that means we're growing. And so our purpose is personal expansion. And that's another lesson in the book, Return to You. Cause it's like, as long as we're expanding into the next level, and it's beautiful, that's what the life is about.
You know, Shana, and as you're saying that, I'm drawn to a note that I took and highlighted in Return to You. And it's just so beautifully said. You talk about our true nature. Can you share some of that with us?
Yes, I so a lot of times we call, you know, I call it our authentic self or our true nature. Our true nature exists with us in our life. And a lot of times we can go back to, you know, we get into life and we become adults and we kind of put on these masks and these processes of like, I need to protect myself from the world. And that's why I start the book with a quote from Stephen Richards, your level of love or fear will determine your state of reality. And so most of us unknowingly are actually living in fear, and it's given to us and we also carry it forward. So this is about returning to the love that is available. Our true nature is love. Our true nature is divine source energy connected here on earth. And so if we come back to that, there's a time in your life where you really did feel that. Maybe you're feeling it now as an adult, but generally it's usually when we're a child, before the world told us who we should be, or we're too loud or too soft or too smart or whatever it may be. Before the world told us who we are, we were us. You go back to that and that's your true nature.
You know, that's beautiful, Shannon. And it's reminding me of, I'm opening A Course in Miracles and lesson 48, I had it bookmarked because I was just here's my other kitty cat, smelly cat. She wants to show you her butt.
Yep, she's here. I saw her.
Oh my gosh. So the lesson, there is nothing to fear. Mm-hmm. And that for me is a big one when I feel anxiety. And they, you know, it suggests repeating this idea as often as possible, to close your eyes even, and there's nothing to fear. And really, yeah. That came to mind as you were just speaking.
It's so true. And I think what this book and why I had to write this book is because we're living in a world that often will tell us that fear is going to take us down. We live in fear, but there is nothing to fear when you truly are connected to the light. And I use that I share A Course in Miracles because it's the book to teach you that fear is the illusion keeping us separate from love.
It is, you know, and so what you just said, it's so powerful that fear is the illusion keeping us separate from love. And it rolls right off your tongue. I know you have the deeper like your life starts to unfold differently when it you does. Really embody, mm-hmm. you know, there is, yes. Can you say, speak to that?
Yes. Your cat is so gorgeous.
She's like,
I need to be part of this. This is a long conversation.
In every video. So
yeah. I love it. Yes. So, you know, it's interesting. And I know what it's like to be in the crux of anxiety. I used to pass out in public places.
Wow.
Because my anxiety was so bad. I was in so much fear and forget to breathe. And I remember when I was diagnosed with clinical depression, when I was having my panic attacks a few years ago at this point, I know what it's like. And so if you were to say choose love in those moments, it's like, yeah, right, lady, screw you. You can't. And fear is not an illusion. I'm in it. But what we can start to do is say, in this moment, I am safe. In this moment, and all the tools we're sharing today, it becomes a process of not resisting what is. And so when we dive into life, we can come through it and see that there's an opportunity available to us. And that's what love is. Love isn't just putting white light on it. It's being love in the moment, being compassionate with yourself, not judging yourself. That's what we're talking about. And it's a profound shift because then you can realize I'm not defined by these things that happen to me. I'm so much bigger. I'm light in this world. I want to help make a difference. I want to live my life with more meaning and joy. And I am peace. It's beautiful.
And often I've found, Shannon, when we can pause, and as you said, going back to the beginning, judge nothing, just pause and you know, remind yourself there's nothing to fear. Another phrase I like is, I'm safe. It's only change. Mm-hmm. It's only change. I'm safe. And when we pause and just allow things to reconfigure, mm-hmm. you know, they do end up working out if we can just hold on to our reactivity, to our impulsivity. And I know you found that as well.
Absolutely. And I'm just thinking over the past, you know, a couple weeks in just out in the world with what we see, there's a lot going on. And as you were saying that, it brought up a lot of the times it's really easy to look at what's going on outside of us and we become emotionally charged by it. But part of what I learned in my own personal journey of returning to me is all that's going to keep going. The world's going to keep trying to pull at you. And so what we want to do instead is be centered within self and then meet these outside expectations versus each one coming at us and going on these deep roller coasters of, oh my God, the world's falling apart. Because the truth is the world is the world. And there's beautiful parts about the world, yeah. but there's also a lot of darkness. And so we get to be the light when we choose to focus our energy on the things that we care about with love.
And we get to choose what we consume.
Yes, that was a big piece too. One of the very first things we can do is detach from drama. And this means anything that pulls at your energy and makes you feel heavy, makes you feel overwhelmed, whether it's news, whether it's conversations, whether it's people in your life, detach and give yourself permission to have boundaries and say, my mental, spiritual, emotional well-being is really important right now. And I choose me. So that's a good step that we can do as well.
It is. And Shannon, as kind of a last question, it just popped in my head. I almost forgot to ask you because you talk about there was an epiphany you had after ending a difficult friendship. And I wonder if you would share.
Yeah. One of the things that keeps us from inner peace is our relationships. And a lot of times it's because expectations or ideas that we have on who and what the relationship should be. I had a best friend. We were best friends and so close, and she started to pull away. And it really took a toll on me because it was a time where I really was thinking we were going to be best friends forever. And that expectation in itself put a lot on there. But as she was pulling away, I started to recognize, I was grabbing on more as she was pulling away. And so I recognized that this had nothing to do with her, but a pattern that I was playing out in my life of when people pull away, I feel unloved. And so my lack of my own, I don't feel lovable, was being projected out. And she was just living her life trying to navigate a divorce and a child in high school. Like, she's going through her life. And once I stepped out and realized, oh my gosh, I'm going to work on my inner world and give her permission to be her, I also recognized everyone is on their own journey. And so sometimes the biggest, most beautiful process in the book that's my favorite is the releasing relationship meditation. And it's where sometimes we do have people that come into our lives and then they're meant to go away. When we hold on, we're resisting life again. So I let her go. And, a couple years later, she reached out and we had loving, kind words with each other. No fallout or anything. It was just we had different paths and directions to go in our life. So loving allowance is key, and letting people go when their time is expired is important.
I appreciate you sharing that because I think that does happen from time to time. And if we can really, love ourselves through it and just allow the other person to go through what they need to. And like, you had a beautiful reconciliation, which is so awesome. Like that can just be so wonderful.
Yeah, we don't have to take it personally and realize most everyone's just trying to do the best they can too. So if we extend more love out in the world, that's really what it's about.
And that's what comes back to us more and more.
Yes. And that's what return to you is. Be the love in action.
So what are you excited about, Shannon, coming up next for you? This book just came out within a month, correct?
Yeah, it's just out. So I'm really excited. I'm in the moment. I'm enjoying this ride. It's beautiful. I'm also kind of, every book I write there's a piece in there that will turn into the next book. Mm. I wrote Joy Seeker and there was a piece in there that was tapping into this. And then I went through what I went through. So the new book is starting to percolate. I will say it's like Easter eggs in each book. So that's kind of in there, and it's aligned with the biggest war that we have is the war we have within ourselves, in the chapter that is going deeper into really knowing, accepting yourself so fully and so full of love is really what it's about.
So, yeah. So, and your website for people to connect with you is playwiththeworld.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Play with the world. And there's actually the quiz you can take. If you enjoyed that question, you can take it right there on the website as well.
And we can find you at Shannon Kaiser, the K writes on social media, correct?
Yes, yes. WRITES are my author pages. And I'm always posting inspirational and, quotes and things that help us feel connected and more aligned.
Well, I'm just so happy that we're connected again. And I want to have you on for every book. And
yes, I love that. It's so great to be back with you.
You have a show as well.
I do. It's the Awakened and Aligned podcast. We're between seasons right now. It's not a typical podcast where it's kind of evergreen all the time. It's seasonal, if you will, based on the seasons of my soul.
I love that.
Yeah. So thank you so much. It's been beautiful to be here. And I love that we get to talk about peace and just practice it.
And love and returning to ourselves.
Yes, it's so important. Every day, every moment.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That concludes today's show with Shannon Kaiser. Again, this beautiful book, Return to You, 10 out of 10 out of 10. Shannon Kaiser at Shannon Kaiser Writes. If you want to connect with me, I'm at NOLA Therapy. It stands for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy, representing my two favorite cities, all of my love, and I'll be back with you next week.
And that's a wrap. thank you. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review All Things Therapy on the platform you're listening from. And let's connect on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at NOLA Therapy, the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy, reflecting my two favorite cities. And let's keep changing consciousness, one conversation at a time.